If you would, open your Bibles to the Gospel of Luke, or you can look on the monitor if you want to, back there. As we look today at what Luke has to say in Luke's Gospel, as he tells us this experience in Jesus' ministry, when he's being criticized by his enemies, the Pharisees, the ultra-strict legalists, being criticized because Jesus, who purported to be a teacher sent from God, the eternal Son of God, how in the world could he associate with, quote, sinners, people with doubtful reputation? In fact, Jesus broke all the rules of the Pharisees. Not only did he eat with sinners, these people outside the pale of religion, but he would even host them and invite them to eat with him. And to eat with somebody in that culture was to express full receptivity, openness, and acceptance of another person. When you invited somebody to eat with you, you're saying, I accept you in all of your totality, in all that you are. And so Jesus was offending people by accepting sinners and eating with them. And so he was confronted by them, as you see now, in what's called the Lost and Found chapter of the Bible. It's a great chapter to understand the heart of God and what Jesus thinks about the lost. Luke chapter 15, beginning with verse 1. Now the tax collectors and sinners were all gathered around to hear Jesus. Now remember, the tax collectors were considered terrible sinners and even traitors to their own people. But the Pharisees and the teachers of the law muttered, "This man welcomes sinners and eats with them." Then Jesus told them this parable. Suppose one of you has 100 sheep and loses one of them. Doesn't he leave the 99 in the open country and go after the lost sheep until he finds it? And when he finds it, he joyfully puts it on his shoulders and goes home. Then he calls his friends and neighbors together and says, "Rejoice with me, I've found my lost sheep." I tell you that in the same way, there'll be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who do not need to repent. Or suppose a woman has 10 silver coins and loses one. Doesn't she light a lamp, sweep the house, and search carefully until she finds it? And when she finds it, she calls her friends and neighbors together and says, "Rejoice with me, I've found my lost coin." In the same way, I tell you, there's rejoicing in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. Have you ever lost anything? I have. Many times, keys, wallet. And if you understand what I'm saying here, the amount of distress that you feel is directly proportionate to the value of what's lost, right? I mean, some things you can say, okay, I lost it. I always buy cheap pens because I know I'm going to lose them. So when I lose a ballpoint pen, so what? You know, I replace it. But something that's valuable, it causes distress. And of course, we can go all the way to the other extreme and think about those who've lost children. We think about those poor people in Nigeria looking for those 200 girls who've been abducted. Imagine the grief, the distress over the lost. Jesus wants us to understand something about his distress over the loss of his sheep, his people. Notice Jesus' regard for the lost. This was his mission. As he said, after he rescued Zacchaeus, who had been up hiding up in the sycamore tree, but came to see Jesus. Jesus said, "Come down." Jesus called him to himself. And after that experience of sharing his life with Zacchaeus, Jesus said, "The Son of Man, I have come to seek and to save the lost. This is why I came. This is why the eternal Son of God became a human being, lived among us, was in order to rescue us as lost sheep." So notice his regard for the lost and the condition of the lost. And so Jesus compares us to sheep. Lost sheep. We had a member of our church in our first congregation that we began in Indiana, a place called North Vernon. And we had a farmer who had some sheep. And he told me that sheep are the dumbest animals you can imagine. Now, when I thought about that in relation to what Jesus says about us, I thought, you know, that's not very complimentary of us. Sheep tend to wander. And once sheep become lost, they're helpless. They're vulnerable. And so we need to understand that Jesus is comparing us to sheep who've become vulnerable and helpless. Isaiah 53 talks about how that all of us, like sheep, have gone astray. And so there's this helplessness that's implicit in this reference to being sheep, the condition of the lost. Think of the distress over those who've lost loved ones in, was it Air Malaysia, Flight 370. Even weeks ago, they said it's like looking for a needle in the haystack. Well, it's worse than that now. The scripture says that we are lost apart from Christ. We were without hope and without God in this world. And our condition was absolutely hopeless, as we just sang in the chorus in our worship time. It was by grace alone that we've been found. We were not seeking his mercy. We were running from his mercy until grace found us and God rescued us out of our lost condition. Think of the compassion of the shepherd. The shepherd cares for his sheep. The woman cares about her lost coin. These 10 coins were probably a wedding headdress. So they had not only numerical value, but they had sentimental value. And that woman was desperate to find that lost coin. The shepherd was desperate to find that one lost sheep. Jesus compares himself in John 10, not just to a good shepherd who would risk his life for the sheep. Jesus said, I give my life. Jesus came into the world knowing that it would cost him his suffering and death on a cross. That was a price for our salvation. And we see the heart of the Savior when we see Jesus crucified, suffering on the cross, which was the only means of our being rescued from our lost condition. He loves those whom he's created and chosen. We are God's special creation. Each one of you is special in his sight. Everything about you, even the history of your life and your future, all of this is precious to the Lord. And he cherishes you. He yearns to be gracious to you, as the prophet says, and longs to give you his wonderful, gracious salvation because you have value, much more than the value of the coin to the woman. Peter says it in his first letter, the first chapter. We were purchased not with silver and gold and anything corruptible. We were purchased by the blood of Jesus Christ, through the blood of the cross. That's our worth. That's your worth before God. He places an infinite value on your life. I'm convinced if you were the only person alive and Christ hadn't died on the cross yet and you were lost in your sin, Jesus would die just for you. Don't think of it as his dying just for masses of people. Think of it as Jesus giving himself to rescue you. Remember, it's the one lost sheep that Jesus goes after. That means he goes after you if you're outside of his fold. He has this regard for the lost. He has this rescue and recovery of the lost. Really, in these parables, we see the triune God. We'll see later at another time, about the loving Father and the lost. Here we see Jesus, the Son, and the lost. And perhaps through the woman and the coin, looking for the coin, we have the Holy Spirit working through the church, the bride of Christ, seeking after the lost. God is involved in this rescue and recovery of all lost people. I think about Mother's Day and the love, the special love. Now, it's not like us dads don't love our kids. But there is something about a mother's love and a bonding that begins even before birth between mother and child. Did some of you hear the testimony of Kevin Durant, who was chosen recently as the MVP, the most valuable player in the National Basketball Association? He gave a testimony that moved even hard-hearted journalists to tears as he talked about the love of his mother, who sacrificed for him, who went hungry in order that he and his brother might have food to eat. And so mothers have this ability, this inclination to sacrifice, to give. And Jesus seeks after us in this rescue mission with passion and with purpose and also with persistence. He never gives up. While we were living in Belgium, there was a medical couple. Both of them were doctors, husband and wife. Jerry and his wife, Kate McCann. They were with their little children in the Algarve region of Portugal, where we had gone for a conference, by the way. A place of wonderful tourist sites and hotels. And out of one of those hotels, their little daughter, Madeline, was abducted, kidnapped. And that was back in 2007. They still haven't found her. Still haven't found her. But I want you to know they're still looking for her. They're still seeking her. You can look on your website under that girl's name and you'll see they've updated pictures of what she now must look like at age 10. She was abducted at age 3. Now at age 10, this is what she must look like. And so it's this ongoing search. It was well captured, and I won't quote it now for sake of time, but Francis Thompson wrote The Hound of Heaven, probably one of the most popular Christian poems ever written. A great testimony about how that he, as a derelict, was rescued by a couple who recognized his writing ability. And so they took him under their wing and nurtured him. And he wrote this wonderful poem about God's being a hound of heaven, the hound of heaven, who pursues us relentlessly like a hound, seeking after that which was lost. And so Christ seeks after the lost in this rescue mission with persistence. But he also has the power to recover the lost. As hopeless as many situations are with the Air Malaysia airline, as desperate as the situation seems with the Nigerian children, I want you to know that God has the power to find us, to find you, and to rescue you. As much as you may think of yourself as, no, I'll never become a Christian, I'll never change my life, my heart, I don't believe that. If God has chosen you, you will believe that. And he will seek you until he finds you. And even if you're in spiritual death, he has the ability, as Paul says in Ephesians 2, to bring you from death to life. We were all at one time hopelessly lost. All of us, regardless of your age, maybe age 9, 11, however it was, apart from Christ, we couldn't save ourselves. It was by his grace that we've been saved. And he has the power to do that. And he rejoices over us when he finds us. He will find those that he seeks. And he will restore us to himself, restored to God. The Orthodox Jews were just the opposite. These religionists, these legalists, they said there will be joy in heaven over one sinner who goes to hell. What an attitude, huh? Here he says, Jesus says, there will be joy in heaven. I tell you, in the same way, there will be more rejoicing in heaven. And what that means is in the heart of God. In the heavens, in his kingdom, there will be more rejoicing in the heart of God over that one sinner. And look at the woman who found the coin. I tell you in the same way, there's rejoicing in the presence of God. You know something? There ought to be great joy in East Madison Baptist Church every Sunday. Wouldn't it be great to see people just regularly, by the grace and the power of God and through the faithful witness of his missional people out in the world, being God's hands and arms and voices among those who are lost sheep, to see them come to faith in Jesus and to do like Raina, follow him in believer's baptism, and to experience that celebration, that joy of following Jesus, restored to God, restored to the fold of God, the fold. Jesus said the shepherd will bring the sheep back to the fold. That is, you get into community. You get into a group of people who won't let you stray again because they love you and they nurture you and they disciple you as you follow Jesus as Lord. It's in the fold. And we need to understand that God has created at East Madison Baptist Church a fold that enfolds all of those who come to faith in Jesus, enfolds them with love and acceptance unconditionally, enfolds them with the ability to walk and then learn to run and to be champions for Christ, enfolds them in a life of following Jesus in faithful discipleship. You don't worry about them getting lost again. They stay too busy seeking after the lost, seeking to bring others to faith in Jesus. And what celebration that would be.